SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Conference USA Underdog Podcast on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. Want to take a second to thank all of our guests that have been on our off-season episodes this far. Off-season's still chugging along, and before we know it, it's going to be time for spring practice. It's already March, believe it or not. Joe Lonergan and Eric Henry here with you once again. Excited to talk some FAU football today with our guests, but we'll get to that. Eric, how have you been the last couple weeks? It's been a minute since we talked to each other.
Yeah, we knocked out those episodes with our guests, and once again, we want to thank them for making time to come on. Hope you guys enjoyed those episodes, but things are doing well down here. You know, it's home of the Super Bowl champs here in Tampa, Florida, so doing all right. It seems like we seem to be in better position than, maybe other parts of the country with the various weather circumstances. So I hope everyone's safe and sound out there. But outside of that, man, cannot complain. It's just typically I'd say it's early for me, but, you're waking up on the West Coast a little earlier than we are over here in the Sunshine State.
And to make matters worse, I didn't have time to make a full pot of coffee. So, we'll have to deal with me in an uncaffeinated state, so we'll see how that goes. But to talk FAU football today, our guest is Mr. Kevin Fielder. You can find him on Twitter at the Kevin Fielder, and he covers the Owls for Fifth Quarter Inc. You can also find his college football content at a few other places around the internet. Of course, the State of the U, another SB Nation affiliate as well. We like those guys a lot. But Kevin, appreciate you having the time this morning.
Of course, man. Eric, I just want to say you think it's early for you to try being a college student. Everything before like 1 o'clock is too early.
Kevin, it's not that long ago I was a college student. Let me see if I can rack that old brain to mine and remember what it was like to get up at 8 a.m. and catch the shuttle over to UCF. So I understand, man. I appreciate you. We're tapping into your nap time, right? Typically, you'd be heading back to your house, your apartment, getting that nap in between classes, right?
Yeah, no, I usually try and get all my classes like after 12 o'clock, but if I had an early class, now would be perfect nap time for that.
Of course. I'll go ahead and pick it up from here, jump to my line of questioning. I want to start with this. The return of Akilis Leroy. Everyone knows that FAU had a solid season last year, although somewhat abbreviated, truncated season due to, as most Conference USA teams did, due to the effects surrounding COVID-19. They had, a really solid year, qualified for a bowl game. But can you just tell me with the return of Akilis Leroy for our listeners who may not remember, Akilis Leroy in 2019 was certainly a bona fide candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, had over 100 tackles, over, I want to say it was 15 and a half tackles for loss. I want to say it was 8 or 9 sacks. I don't have those numbers off the directly in front of me. I should have looked them up ahead of time. But with that being said, Kevin, I know FAU opened camp on Monday. Can you tell me just first off how things are going so far? And secondly, the return of Kiki Leroy, how will that play a factor with this team?
Yeah, so, obviously it's early, so it's hard to really judge how camp has been, because when you only have two practices and, I think Coach Stoops, the new defensive coordinator, and a couple other guys have mentioned this, everyone looks good in shorts. I mean, it's hard to really gauge, but, when you can get a guy back like Akilis Leroy, and he hasn't exactly returned to camp yet, he's still trying to figure a few things out, but they fully expect him to be ready for the season. It's hard to gauge the impact that a guy like Akilis Leroy has because, it seemed 2 years ago in 2019, he was always making a play. He was always there to make a play. And then, whether it was against Middle Tennessee where he had the blocked extra point for a return for 2 points, or whether it was a timely interception or a timely sack or just, a timely good tackle in space, it would always be, when is Akilis Leroy going to make the play, because you knew he was going to make the play. And, last year, I don't necessarily think FAU struggled at the linebacker position. I think that, their linebackers played well, all things considered. But, all Akilis Leroy does is add more talent, add more experience, add more leadership to, a linebacker group that, when we talk about how FAU plays their game, the linebackers are very important. And, when you can have a guy like Akilis Leroy there just, taking up pretty much every snap, it makes the job of every defensive coordinator and every head coach that much easier.
I mentioned FAU's abbreviated schedule. They finished the year 5-4. They got out to a hot start, started 5-1 with the only loss being at Marshall. That was somewhat of a controversial game. FAU was shorthanded due to contact tracing and other situations related to the coronavirus, but then ended the year losing their final three games at Georgia Southern, at Southern Miss, and of course the bowl game to Memphis. So with that being said, and a couple coordinator changes, Mike Stoops comes in with Jim Levitt taking a job at SMU, if my memory serves me correct, and Michael Johnson coming in to take over the offense. Can you just talk about those moves for a second and what impact they may have so far? Again, as you mentioned, it's early in camp, but just kind of your read on those moves.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a common theme between Mike Stoops and Michael Johnson is that they've got experience coaching at some of the top levels, both in college football and in the case of Michael Johnson at the NFL level. And, you know, when you're working with top-level talent, you have to be a good coach. You know, you have to be able to manage these talents and manage these egos and, you know, manage all these things. And Michael Johnson and Mike Stoops have done that perfectly. And, you know, that's only going to help FAU, all things considered, because, yes, you know, I think last year their coaching staff did a great job. And, you know, Jim Levitt was a perfect example of that. You know, he took a good defense, made it arguably better. But, you know, Mike Stoops, what he is he's a guy who's got head coaching experience from his time at Arizona. He's got defensive coordinator experience at some of the top schools. And let's not discredit the fact that just for 2 years he was learning under Nick Saban. And, you know, all things considered, I don't think there's a better coach in college football to learn from than Nick Saban. And, you know, I just think overall when you can get guys like Michael Johnson and Mike Stoops, and even, you know, past that, you know, the offensive line coaches and guys like Lance Thomas and Kevin Patrick, you have a really good coaching staff there where you can really just – take that next step as a program. And, you know, you mentioned the 5-1 start, the end 5-4. They really struggled there down the stretch to pick up, you know, quality performances. And, you know, it just seems like one day when the defense was working, the offense wouldn't work, or when the offense was working, the defense wouldn't work. So when you have experienced coordinators like this, the job of a team just becomes that much easier. You know, and just being able to trust these guys to know how to run their certain offenses and run their certain defenses.
I want to stick with the defense here. You know, Kevin asked you a question about a player who it's a position that, you know, it's kind of like the fullback of the defense, right? You know, the nose guard. But in FAU's defense last year, and that scheme was a very pivotal position. And of course, we'll have to see what Mike Stoops carries over to the 2021 season. But the player I'm in referencing is Evan Anderson. He's a mountain of a man, I believe 6'3", 6'4", about 340 pounds as a freshman. Came in, 21 tackles, two tackles for loss, and 1.5 sacks. Can you just talk about his growth and development as a player and what role that big defensive tackle or specifically the nose tackle may play in the scheme going forward?
Yeah, you know, I think last year Evan Anderson was kind of thrown into action in a sense because there wasn't much competition for his role. And, you know, I think all things considered, he did a great job with all those things around him. And, you know, just being able to go in there and, you know, in the run game, take up blocks and take up spots and fill the gaps properly. And just, you know, in the pass rush, it's similar. You know, when you have a guy like that who's so big and so talented and able to disrupt things like that, it requires another blocker. It requires another guy to take space. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why guys like Jalen Joyner and Leighton McCarthy had such great seasons as defensive ends and, you know, those pass rush outside linebackers, because it was never really a thing of, you know, they were going to be double teamed or they were going to be the ones who were taking up those blocks, because a guy like Evan Anderson was in the middle there just taking up space and taking up blockers.
Kevin, the last time I had a chance to visit quote-unquote paradise was the 2019 season when FIU went to FAU. The Schmidt Athletic Complex was almost complete, I believe, memory serves me correct, or it may have been like 95% there. But for those who have had a chance to see it, and I've had a chance to see it on YouTube and other places, it looks to be one of the premier, as far as, you know, facilities, as far as G5 and maybe across college football in general, training facilities for not just FAU football in general, but all of FAU athletics. Can you talk about what type of a game changer that's been in terms of recruiting and just, you know, what that's done for the football programs as they are trying to take the next step?
Yeah, you know, I think the role of those training facilities are kind of underrated in college football because, you know, when we discuss how these things work, you know, these things are important. You know, the added weight rooms, the added infrastructure, just the ability to have something closer to the middle of campus. You know, the old Tom Oxley Athletic Center, which was the old one, was further out there. You know, it wasn't on in the middle of campus per se, as the Schmidt Center was. And I think that definitely makes a huge impact in just the training of the team and being able to convince guys to come, because you don't have that inherent difference from a top program at the, or, you know, one of those mid-level Power 5 programs, which you're going to be competing for with a lot of these recruits.
I want to go ahead and get your read on the state of the Shula Bowl rivalry, the FAU-FIU rivalry. It is one that, quite frankly, has been overwhelmingly dominated by the team from Boca Raton for the past four seasons. FIU's last win in this rivalry was 2016, a 33-31 victory at Ricardo Silva Stadium, then FIU Stadium. Since then, FAU has dominated the rivalry under Lane Kiffin in 2019, saying that, hey, you know, we have an entire group of guys who's never going to lose to that team over there. And, you know, we want to let them know that it's going to be another 365 days until they can have a chance of victory. Of course, in 2020, Javion Posey and company came to Ricardo Silva. And, you know, quite frankly, it just was a repeat of 2019 in terms of that game not being close. Just want to get your read on the state of the rivalry and what that means for the players inside that building and a guy like Willie Taggart, who was introduced to it for the first time last year.
Yeah, you know, we all asked Willie Taggart this last season was, how much do you know about this rivalry? And how much do you know about, you know, how much players on FAU might quote unquote hate FIU players? And it was clear, you know, he understands that rivalry is the big game. And, you know, FAU, I think this weird, I don't know if I want to call it a cliche per se, but the statement that, you know, we could lose every game, but as long as we beat FIU, it's a good season. These guys want to beat FIU. They want to beat FIU every year. And there is so much, you know, rivalry in this game. And it's a really an underrated rivalry in that sense, because I think a lot of people across college football don't know that. You know, I think a lot of people across college football just think it's another rivalry. But, you know, in that FAU locker room, it's FIU hate week. And it is, you know, every week we want to, you know, we're building to beat FIU. And we're building to be the better team than FIU is. And, you know, the last few years it's definitely been dominated by FAU. And, you know, I think just at least this upcoming season, it might be a lot of the same. But, you know, just I think that overall it's a rivalry that is still very fresh in a lot of people's minds, both in both programs. And, you know, I think, Eric, you can speak a little bit more to the FIU part of that. But, you know, in the FAU locker room, it is, you know, once that schedule shifts to the Sunday after whatever that Saturday game might be, it's FAU hate week, or it's FIU hate week, excuse me. And it's, you know, we're ready to beat FIU.
Sure, absolutely. I think the one thing about that rivalry that, you know, kind of caused it to go under the radar, I mean, of course, it's a G5 rivalry, and that's part of the reason, but two things. One, you know, it's both programs are building their fan bases, and that plays a factor, but also there hasn't necessarily been that marquee competitive game, right? I mean, yes, you had 33-31 in 2016, but you got to have that competitive game when everything's on the line, similar to maybe the USF, UCF from a couple years ago when you had two top 25 teams. So when that happens, that rivalry will probably get a little more, generate a little more buzz, so to speak. But this last question here, before I go and send it over to Joe, I got a fun one for you, Kevin. I want to ask, you know, a lot of times we have our beat writers on, I like to ask them either their favorite Conference USA city that they've been to, or me and Joe both being big food guys ourselves, the best press box meal that they've had. So I'm going to take the second one for you. What is the best press box meal in, I believe, 2 years you've been covering FAU? What is the best meal you've had over there at FAU Stadium?
Yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for good barbecue, and FAU, you know, always brings out really good barbecue, but it's the halftime popcorn. You know, that popcorn is, it's always really weird flavors too. You know, it's never just normal popcorn. It's always some weird flavor to it. You know, just off the top of my head, you have like dill pickle, and you know, you'll have like caramel chocolate popcorn. It's just always a weird flavor, but it's always so good. And that stuff will leave the press box, and you know, it will be the quota gone in a few seconds. It is so good. It is, quite honestly, probably some of the best popcorn I've ever had.
Man, I feel kind of jealous. I don't think I was privy to the popcorn in 2019, so I'll make a note of that coming around this year. Joe, you a popcorn guy?
Absolutely. I mean, it's making me nostalgic for when movie theaters were a thing. Man, I cannot.
A little dry COVID humor, Joe?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how else are we going to get through a pandemic if we don't laugh about it? But anyway, Kevin, you know, as a student at FAU, want to start off my questions with this. What's your take on what the student culture is like at FAU currently with everything going on?
Yeah, you know, I can't really speak to what it's like every day because I'm not on campus every day. I'm usually doing a lot of my schoolwork, like 99% of the nation, and that's, you know, over a Zoom class usually in my bed. You know, but it's weird. You know, every single time we'll talk about student culture, and, you know, student culture is a really weird one because it varies by school and, you know, just it varies by area. And, you know, FAU is known to a lot of people as a commuter school because, you know, it's central to Palm Beach County, and, you know, a lot of those Palm Beach County high schools will put students into that school often. And, you know, that was the case with me as well. But, you know, I think student culture is definitely improving. And, I think we've seen it with the baseball program, you know, obviously 6-1, just coming off a win against number six Florida on the road. But, you know, they've sold out pretty much every baseball game so far this season. So, you know, I think the interest in sports has increased, the interest on campus has increased, and just overall the campus student lifestyle has definitely increased over the last few years.
Definitely good news for FAU administrators and any future owls out there. We are certainly no stranger to seeing former stars transfer into FAU. Owls got their latest one in offensive lineman Kamar Bell from Auburn. Kevin, what can you tell us about what he's done in spring practice, you know, in the limited time that the Owls have been doing that so far, or if you have any other information on how he'll contribute to Willie Taggart's offense, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I don't think Kamar Bell is on campus for spring practice because he did transfer, so late. But Kamar Bell is just another one of the full list of guys who have transferred into FAU from big-time universities. You know, it wasn't just him this offseason either. It was Michael Johnson Jr. from Penn State. It was, Baselli from Florida State. They get a lot of big-time transfers, and Kamar Bell is a guy, you know, obviously when you transfer from a Power 5 program, you have the talent to make it at a Power 5 program. You know, you don't just get recruited to a Power 5 program for anything. You know, you have to have the talent, and that talent, you know, I think in a lot of cases will shine at the Group of 5 level, excuse me. You know, I think we see a lot of these guys succeed at the Conference USA and at different Group of 5 levels because, you know, they're more talented. And if they get the proper development, and, you know, I think Kamar Bell can certainly get that at FAU. I think, you know, FAU has the coaching staff and the infrastructure in place, as I previously mentioned, to be able to take that next step. But Kamar Bell is just, you know, another added piece to an offensive line that last season had struggled at points to keep quarterbacks upright or keep, you know, time in the pocket properly or allow running holes to the running backs. And, you know, anytime you can add depth to a position like the offensive line, it's definitely important.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Michael Johnson Jr. too. I want to talk about him in a minute. But first, his dad, Michael Johnson Sr., for those that don't know, is the new offensive coordinator at FAU this year. And he's said multiple times in the press that obviously improving that offense from what it was last year is a definite priority for him. Kevin, you know, from what you've seen of the offense so far and what you're hearing from, you know, your sources in the program, how's that going so far and how confident are you in the offense's improvement for this coming season?
Yeah, you know, it seems like the offense is getting ready to take that next step. And, you know, I think last year part of the problem was just, you know, overall you lose so much talent in such a little time. And, you know, I mentioned this a few times on Twitter and even in articles is that, you know, when you lose your starting quarterback and three of your top receivers and, you know, two offensive linemen who are really important and just, you know, you have so much running back, problems with injuries like FAU did last season, it's hard to build any type of consistency because, you know, you have so much replacement and you didn't get a spring camp. But, you know, I think the common theme around that FAU offense is that, you know, a spring practice is going to help a lot. And having a spring practice and being able to learn those small things in spring practice, those simple technique things that you can teach in spring practice will make the summer workouts and the fall practice that much easier because you're not trying to put everything into a few weeks. You're not trying to to build an entire offense in just a few weeks. You'll now have that stretch of 15 practices in the spring and then all of that fall camp to learn the offense.
Definitely makes sense. So with Michael Johnson, obviously he's coaching his son. What have you kind of heard or seen regarding that dynamic there? Obviously, you know, Johnson transferred in from Penn State, might not be QB1 come opening day, but, you know, knowing FAU's luck with QBs the last couple of years, it's very likely that Michael Johnson Jr. might see some snaps at quarterback this year.
Yeah, you know, I think so when I spoke to Michael Johnson Jr. after he had transferred, the common theme was that, you know, Willie Taggart was someone who was honest with him when during his first recruiting process, when he was going from top school to top school, and he was you know, being recruited by Oregon and being recruited by Penn State and Miami and all these other top schools. And, you know, it was a common theme as to why he transferred to FAU was that familiarity with Coach Taggart and the experience that he had with Coach Taggart while Coach Taggart was recruiting him. And then, you know, yesterday we had the chance to speak to Michael Johnson, and the first question pretty much was, you know, how much did your son playing at, you know, your son transferring to FAU impact your decision to transfer or to, you know, take that offensive coordinator job? And he told us that did not play a role. And so, you know, I think part of it is that just, you know, Willie Taggart knows his family. You know, he coached, you know, he was, you know, Michael Johnson was the coach with Taggart at Oregon. You know, Michael Johnson Jr. is obviously recruited by Coach Taggart. You know, there is some family dynamic in that sense, you know, and so that definitely helps when you're trying to get these top coaches and these top recruits in.
Definitely makes sense. So with spring football, you know, having begun at FAU, what storylines other than the ones that we've just talked about here are you paying particular attention to over the next few weeks and months?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we've talked about the defense, and my big storyline going into this spring was, you know, will the defense continue that consistency? You know, last season they were one of the best defenses, not only in Conference USA, but in the Group of Five, you know, overall. And, you know, they return a lot of the talent at key positions. You know, Zion Gilbert returns, Jalen Joyner returns, you know, Amon Ross returns. We mentioned the return of Akilis Leroy. That talent should help them keep the consistency. Another one that I'm looking at is on the offensive side of things, you know, just overall, can the offensive line take that next step? I think last year the offensive line struggled at points, and, you know, if they can take that next step, that's very important to building an offense that's consistent and building an offense that can drive down the field and not, you know, have to rely on a strong defense to win games like they had to last season. You know, there were games where they'd only score 14 points to win the game. I think all of us will agree that, you know, it's not sustainable to only score 14 or 20 points a game and to win consistently in college, you know, with the way that scoring has increased. And, you know, partly in the same sense, you know, who will take over that wide receiver position? You know, will they have a guy stand out and emerge as the number one target? You know, they had Harrison Bryant for a long time there be that number one guy, but he's now in the NFL and he's now making plays for Cleveland Browns. So they need someone to step up and become the number one guy at that wide receiver position, be that guy that they can rely on when they need a big play from a wide receiver.
We'll certainly be paying attention to his development over the course of the next few months. And hopefully when fall comes around and the world's a different place, we'll get to see him in person and the three of us can enjoy some beverages with little umbrellas in them, hopefully inside of a coconut in Boca. So, you know, Eric, I know I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think hopefully by that point in time, Kevin will be able to indulge in one of those beverages as well.
Hey, yes. Eric, in November I will be. So just remember, I'm not 12.
I know. I just got to give my guy Kevin a hard time, man. He's doing a great job covering that program. Like I said to him off air on Twitter, I'm getting him in a suit for Shula Bowl next year. Whether he likes it or not, I'm getting him in a suit. But that aside, Kevin does a phenomenal job.
Fantastic. If you want to check out Kevin's content, follow him on Twitter at the Kevin Fielder. Also recommend reading his stuff on Fifth Quarter. Also does some high school stuff for New Era Prep, and like I mentioned, covers the Miami Hurricanes at the State of the U, another SB Nation community as well. If you want to follow Eric and myself on Twitter, I'm at @JOEHIO _. Eric is at @EricCHenry_. Also recommend following at Underdog Dynasty on Twitter. That's the site's main account where we are posting more of our stories from the offseason and providing more commentary on all the news and notes, as we'll get into on the next episode, from, you know, spring football and all of its craziness. But thank you so much for listening once again. If you haven't already, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we will talk to you very soon with hopefully another guest. Happy football watching, everybody. Stay safe out there.